Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hey, we'd like to thank you for listening, and this show is sponsored by DizWheels. DizWheels has mobility scooters, strollers, and wheelchairs starting at only $20 a day. Single stroller, double stroller, whatever you need, they will get you moving. They also have one-day rentals, and they have free delivery and free pickup. If you want more information, go visit them at www.dizwheels.com or call them at 407-501-6883 to book, and you can check them out on Facebook at facebook.com/DizWheels. That's D-I-Z Wheels. See you in the parks.
And now, the Disney Parks Podcast infotainment segment.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast. My name is Parkhopper John, and I come to you from WDWParkhoppers.com. Joining me, as always, is the lovable, huggable, I just cannot get enough of him, my cohort in crime, my co-host, my friend, Mr. Tony Castelnova from Disney by the Numbers. How you doing?
Howdy, y'all.
Howdy, y'all.
Y'all.
See, there's a difference. You can tell I'm from the South. That sounds natural. Sounds natural when I do it.
It's like a New Yorker saying, "Yeah, to y'all."
Yeah. What
although
is cute?
Yeah. What did I say? All y'all.
All y'all.
I can't get over that one. That one always cracks me up.
Hey, all y'all want to go?
All y'all want to go?
All y'all want to go to Walt Disney World and have some fun?
Yeah. That cracks
me. We've got a great show for you. This is our infotainment show, and what we're talking about this week is Disney Imagineers. Now, just imagine, if you will, what Disneyland would have been had Walt not had the brilliance to create the Imagineers. These are the men and women who make Walt Disney's dreams and imaginations come to life.
Right.
We are going to count down our top 10 Disney Imagineers. I don't know why we haven't talked about this before. This is a great topic. I love and revere every name on this list and the myriad of names that we have not talked about that did not make the top 10 list. But this is exciting.
We could have really had a top 100 list, but.
Oh, yeah. And then some. And we still would probably left people off the list.
Yeah. But for the sake of time and, you know, and a lot of these names you may know. Maybe all the names you know. Maybe there's one or two names on here that you don't know. So, and I'm not going to say I am a Disney Imagineer aficionado, expert, guru, but these are people that I think people should know about because I think they've made some kind of significant contribution to the Disney company in some shape, form, or fashion.
Absolutely.
And some of them you may see physically in the parks and movies and things like that, and other, you know, just do things and you may not see them. You know, they've made it, created or invented something that you may not know. So
right.
All right, let's start with number 10, John.
Who's number 10? Number 10 is one of my favorite Disney artists. His name is Herb Ryman. He's noted most for his numerous and distinctive conceptual renderings, many of which served as the principally guiding concepts for a lot of the Disney parks and attractions. He's got that very unique style. If you've ever been to the Top of the World Lounge on top of Bay Lake Tower in what we lovingly call the Boom Boom Room, they have several of his stylistic type of artwork. I don't know if all those are Herb's. But there's a lot of them all throughout the parks. You can see his influence. I love his style. I love the way his paintings tell a great story. You can see a lot of emotion inside of one image. It's just incredible. I've been a Herb Ryman fan for a long time.
Yeah. There was maybe two expos ago, they brought out the huge Disneyland Herb Ryman painting. And it was part of the D23 exhibit. And they brought just a few people into to this area where the picture was. And then they would turn off the light. It was only like a one little light in there. And the painting kind of glue. And they used this to show the investors what Disneyland would look like at night. And I said to myself, well, dude, that is brilliant. You know, you look at this beautiful thing with light, but then you turned off the light and it gave you the feeling of what Disneyland would look like at night. And I thought Herb did an excellent job of depicting that in a picture.
Yeah, what's even more fascinating is how the story of that piece of art came to be. That's the one that happened over like a 3-day weekend.
Right, right.
Walt literally calls him up and says, hey, meet me at the studios. We have a project. Yeah. And it was just a 3-day sweat fest to get that out because Roy was in New York meeting with the bankers and they needed that artwork to sell the project. So it's just so amazing. I just can't get over
it. I wonder if there's a Herb Ryman book of art. I'm going to have to go Google that now. There's got to be something out there, like the art of Herb Ryman or something. It's got to be something somewhere. Okay, number 9 on the list. And, you know, I think some people would argue with us that these are really not Imagineers. But I am going to debate that and say they are Imagineers of music.
Yeah, if they want to debate that with us, they would be wrong.
These two gentlemen probably wrote the soundtrack to your life and you don't even know it. They are Richard and Robert Sherman. And they created musical scores for everything from There's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow from the Carousel of Progress to It's a Small World to The Tiki Room to Mary Poppins to Jungle Book to – and the list will go on and on and on. And I am telling you, I mean, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, even things outside of the Disney World they've done. Winnie the Pooh, the list just goes on. We could do a whole podcast about these two people. But these really are the musical engineers of a lot of things that happened when Walt was around. And I think the one story that kind of sticks out for me about these two is Richard Sherman had told this story at, I think, at Destination D. Oh, gosh, probably almost 6 years ago. He was saying that he was leaving the office and Walt has said, hey, you know, play a song for me, boys. And it was Feed the Birds. That was the song that Walt always liked them to play. So they played the song, and Walt had said something to Richard, which he had never really said before, something like, you know, see you, have a great day, or some kind of weird thing.
Good night. He said good night.
Yeah, that was out of context for Walt.
Yeah.
And that was the last time that Richard had seen Walt. So, you know, these guys really, you know, wrote the musical score for a lot of the things. And they, you know, I love listening to Richard tell the stories. I wish Robert was around a little bit more. I've met the two sons, one from each. They're also very interesting gentlemen as well, and also very creative in their own rights. So maybe we're going to get another generation of Shermans out there.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I know they won't be anywhere near as prolific as their dads. But, you know, for me, it was the D23 two back, I guess, 2013.
Yeah.
When Alan Menken and Richard Sherman both gave a concert at one of the event nights. And, you know, the Alan Menken went on, I guess he went first. No, he went on second. Alan Menken is probably music from my youth because, you know, I didn't grow up a Disney person, but this is weird. It's going to sound weird to say it, but Richard and Robert Sherman are the sculptors musically of my Disney life. You know, I grew up, you know, Little Mermaid, Aladdin, all those, all that stuff, right. You know, in your head. But then you hear the Sherman songs, the Mary Poppins, the songs from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which is not a Disney movie, but still. Right. And then you start doing, you know, Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow, Tiki Room, all the songs that were the Sherman Brothers. Right. I mean, I just, that's the stuff that when I became a true Disney fan and started really listening and watching and paying attention, those are the guys that that did it for me. They're the ones that get me to cry the fastest. Right. When you start really thinking about Disney stuff. And I don't think it's, you know, I think you're the same way.
Yeah.
You know, they just have that way. I mean, the songs are super simple, but you know what? They get you right in the gut.
Yeah. Yeah. And they did write some, what I think Richard calls earworms. You know, It's a Small World. I mean, almost just saying that gets that song stuck in your head. So,
yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Next on the list is one of my favorites because of the things that he created. It was Mark Davis. There is another name that did not make the list, but you've probably heard us talk about Alice Davis, who created a lot of the I think Alice Davis was the lady that created all the dresses for the dolls in the very first It's a Small World, right?
No, it's Mary Blair.
Mary Blair to get them. Designs, but Alice Davis was, what did Alice Davis do? No, she created it. She created the dresses. I think Mary Blair designed them. Because didn't she tell, she told the story. She's like, I didn't have any dolls growing up, but now I have all these dolls. That wasn't Mary Blair, that was Alice Davis. So I think she created it, but it was Mary Blair design. Right. So that was his wife. That's Mark Davis. The story is Mark Davis and his wife Alice are having dinner one night, and in walks Walt Disney. And they had a fascinating conversation about elastic. That's the story that blows my mind every time. Anyway, Mark Davis, Imagineer, noted for his character design and sight gags. He designed most of the characters in the Jungle Cruise, the Enchanted Tiki Room, Pirates of the Caribbean. He's all over the Haunted Mansion, the funny bits.
Yeah.
Carousel of Progress, Country Bear Jamboree, America Sings, and so many other classic Disney attractions. Mark Davis is like the man. Right. He's immortalized in a lot of different little nods and several of the attractions, Haunted Mansion being one of them. So he's prolific in so many different ways. He's lower on the list, but he's still amazing. Mark Davis is number 8.
Yep. Number 7 is Xavier X Extensio. I love his name. I think he's got a fascinating name. He was most famous for things like Yo-Ho, A Pirate's Life for Me from Pirates of the Caribbean, and Grim Grinning Ghost from the Haunted Mansion. Two songs that once you leave the attraction, you will hum and sing until you find something else to hum and sing.
Yeah, so, X was amazing. He's different style wise from the Sherman Brothers, but he works perfectly within the Disney paradigm. He was amazing.
Yeah, and I think the story he told was he wasn't like, you know, a songwriter. You know, but Walt said, oh, no, I think he could do it. And Walt had a habit of doing that, telling people to do things that he thought they can do well, but they thought they could not do well. So, you know, that's interesting. I met him at the Epcot 30th, Extensio, and he's a fascinating person, had a lot of great stories to tell. And, you know, that's a thing I guess we should say is, you know, if you get a chance to go to these D23 or, you know, Disney events where they have these great people, really go because they have fascinating stories. It's a lot of fun to listen to them tell, you know, the story. So.
Yeah. There was, again, at the D23 2013, there was a panel discussion called Working with Walt. Mary Davis was there. Marty Sklar.
Alice Davis.
Bob Gurr. Alice Davis, sorry. Yeah. Alice Davis, Marty Sklar, Bob Gurr. And I want to say X Atencio was there too.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
I don't remember.
Was Marty leading the panel?
Of course he was. He's Marty Sklar. He's going to lead. That's his job. So that was fascinating hearing some of those old stories. And those guys, you know, we go the farther and farther we get away from Walt Disney. You know, the people that knew Walt, touched him, worked with him, are getting fewer and fewer and fewer. So we have to hear these stories. We have to get these stories out. So, yeah, it's, if you ever get a chance to see any of the Imagineers, definitely take a avail yourself of the opportunity. So so number six is Mary Blair. We've talked about her a couple times today. Her distinct styling is felt even still throughout Walt Disney World and Disneyland. Now, if you've ever been to the Contemporary Resort in the main column, which is, you know, where the elevators are, there's this gorgeous painting from floor to ceiling. It even has like a three-legged goat. That is Mary Blair. If you've ever been on the It's a Small World, the design for all those little dolls, Mary Blair, that's her style. It's amazing. She also, I want to say she also had a hand in the design for Sleeping Beauty. I could be wrong on that one, but I want to say she had a hand
in that.
Yeah, I want to say she had her hand on the design of Sleeping Beauty, and that's the most distinctly different movie that Disney did for that series of classic movies. So she's amazing, just the things that she came up with. And I think even back in the 50s and 60s, I mean, stop and think about this. Walt Disney employed and put to work and utilized gifts and skills from people all over. He was putting amazing women in charge of amazing projects, and look what they created. So good on you, Walt.
Number five on the list we actually had on this podcast, and that is Raleigh Crump. He's known for his redesign of Disneyland's Adventureland Bazaar. He's also known for the Tower of the Four Winds, which is that giant kinetic sculpture that they built for the World's Fair. He's also responsible for much of Epcot. And he's also noted for his rich, stylized design style. So, you know, Raleigh's done a lot of things. And if you go back to listen to that podcast, I think he was telling us about the House of Horrors that he kind of wanted to do, but it was a little bit on the bizarre and scary side. And Walt said, well, that may not be very family friendly. And out came the Haunted Mansion. So,
right. So it was basically him and Mark Davis, right?
Yeah. And, you know, go back and listen to that podcast because he's a very fascinating person. He also has a couple books out. It's a Cute Story and A Cute Story 2. And I think, who did that? Jeff Heimbach, I think, helped Raleigh get these two books published. Go read those books because they're fascinating stuff in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Number four, next is a name you might not know unless you're a true Disney fan, but it's a name that you should educate yourself about. His name is Roger E. Broggi. Roger oversaw development of audio animatronics. Let's stop right there for just a second. He oversaw the development of audio animatronics.
Right.
Hey, let that sink in. He was also instrumental in creating Circle Vision 360.
Not too bad.
He also created this little ride we like to call the Woodway People Mover.
Hmm. Not too bad.
The Viewliner, the Santa Fe and Disneyland Railroad, the Disneyland Monorail, and this little ride we like to call the Matterhorn Bobsleds, as well as integral in creating many of the dark ride transportation systems. So outside of one of our other Imagineers we're going to mention here soon, if you moved around inside of an attraction or around a theme park, Mr. Broggi probably had something to do with it. That's why Broggi's name is emblazoned in several places around, even Walt Disney World. And wasn't Roger the person that turned Walt Disney onto trains?
Correct. And it's the reason that Walt had a train in his backyard.
Right. Yep. So if you go to the train room at the Wilderness Lodge Resort at the DVC Villas, there might be a couple of references to Roger Broggi inside of there.
I think there are. Also, another good book to get is The Walt Disney World Railroad by Roger E. Brogy. Actually, I think his son put the book out, but it's all about Roger's life. Fascinating book about the entire railroad thing with Walt and how they got these trains from New Mexico to put them in the park and all this other stuff. Great coffee table book, but I would definitely tell you to go out and get that. Okay, number three. We're closing in, John, on the top three. I like this guy because he's got a great name. Tony Baxter. Now, Tony Baxter oversaw the design of some of Disney's most famous modern attractions, such as the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, Splash Mountain, Indiana Jones, Journey into Imagination, and it's dead.
Yeah. Which version? The original version, I would have to say.
The original one. And last but not least, Disneyland Paris.
Which is a wonderful attraction if you get to ride it. Oh, wait.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's pretty crazy. And the last Destination D, Tony spoke about all these things and it brought art out that never got made. Really some crazy attractions and stuff and lands and hotels that, you know, Disney just never built, you know. But there's also a good video of him recently on D23's website. If you're not a member, you can sign up for free. But there's a good talking about, I think it was a Mary Poppins attraction that he wanted to build that never got built. And he was showing this book that he had made and still has.
That would have been fascinating and fun.
Yeah.
So it would probably been a lot like Peter Pan, but instead of it being a ship, it probably would have been an umbrella.
Yeah. Yeah. So go check it out because, you know, go check out the video. Maybe we'll link up to it too in the show notes. But it was a lot of fun to listen to him tell the story of this stuff. Another, he's a great person to listen to do speaks and talks and things because I think he's got a very pleasant way of communicating. Very kind of soft-spoken and kind, you know. But, you know, go check it out because he's a really interesting person, I think.
Yeah, he's fascinating. I have seen him, and plus he's been on a lot of videos too. So for a while there, he was like the go-to guy for Disney Parks videos.
Yeah.
So that was kind of number two, I don't know. I would probably vote. I might. Number one and number two are a toss-up to me. Number two is your friend and mine, Mr. Bob Gurr. He's responsible for designing the ride vehicles for much of Disneyland's history. So anything with a wheel on it, he pretty much created. He created Autopia cars. He created the double-decker bus. He created the fire engine. He helped out with the monorail. He's done so many things that we take for granted nowadays at Disney parks, and they're still operating. The things that he worked on at Disneyland are still operating today. So Bob Gurr is amazing. And even outside of the Disney community, he did some amazing things. He worked with Universal for the very first Kong attraction. I don't know if he's worked on the newest iteration of it, but you know, Bob Gurr is prolific in so many different ways. And if you ever get a chance to meet him, he's an older gentleman, but you would never know it. He is as spry as they come.
He'll give you a run for your money.
Give you a run for your money. And if he offers you a Gertini, run. Run far, far away.
Yeah.
Because he will drink you under the table, my friends.
Yeah. I think he's got a hollow leg. Really do. Yeah, he's a lot of fun to talk to if you ever get a chance to. I've had two occasions to talk to Bob. We've also had him on this podcast, too. He's an avid bike rider. He's an avid photographer. He's like a little renaissance energizer bunny that just keeps on going. There's no end to Bob Gurr. It really isn't.
Yeah, and he's just a great guy. He's a lot of fun. He's really
He is a lot of fun. He is a lot of fun. But, yeah, go check him out because there's a lot of things he's done. He's all over the internet. He loves to do podcasts and videos and things. So he's not hard to find on the internet. All right, last but not least, and we just met him. Were you with me? Yes, you were with me.
A lifelong desire to meet this gentleman and gave him hell. It was awesome.
So number one is I guess there's just no introduction for Joe Rohde. I mean, that's it. You know, he's Joe Rohde. But he is the chief designer for Disney's Animal Kingdom, as well as many other Disney resorts like Aulani. Notably, a distinctive exotic style uses elaborate details and penchant for cultural accuracy. This is the guy that will go to the end of the earth to find that little trinket to bring back to a Disney resort or a Disney attraction to make it authentic.
That's right. If you've been to the Animal Kingdom Lodge and that feeling, you feel like you're in Africa and it's amazing. Yeah. That's Joe Rohde. If you go to Aulani and you really feel the Polynesian spirit flowing, that's Joe Rohde. If you're riding a snowman ride and he doesn't move, that's Joe Rohde. That's what I gave him hell for in a nice way. I was very polite.
Yeah. And think about the queue for Expedition Everest. There's a lot. There is a lot. A lot of things in that attraction queue. And that's the story that Joe's trying to tell you before you even get on the ride. You know, he's trying to tell you, you know, everything you need to know about what you're going to experience in the queue line. And it's just crazy. It's just crazy. There is a lot of details that are in. I will give him that. I mean, I don't go to the park a lot. But I will say the Animal Kingdom is probably the most themed park Disney has. I will give them that.
Yeah, I heard a rumor that they basically walked into several little villages over there in Nepal and said, I want to buy your village. How much for the village?
Yeah.
I want to buy your house. I want to buy it all. Put it in the truck. Let us go.
Yeah, I'd have to go back to my Disney by the number facts. But I think like the Expedition Everest got over 1,200 artifacts in it, which is ludicrous. You know, if you think about that. And he's done a lot of things. Hopefully he'll get to finish Pandora. Maybe we'll see what Pandora looks like. I don't even know anymore. You know, Disney doesn't even talk about it. They don't mention it. It's like, no, we don't know.
So on a side note, let me go down on a side note for just a second. Right, I was at Universal this weekend at their Halloween Horror Nights. They have two attractions that they're building at the same time. They have the brand new ride through New York City with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, right.
And they also have the Fast and Furious ride that they're building.
Oh, wow.
Very far along in both of those attractions. And I'm like, I wonder if they're going to get these open before Pandora opens
up. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they will.
Unbelievable.
They will. And the water park will be open before Pandora's done.
And that's not Joe Rohde's fault.
Yeah. But I don't know. You know. If you pay attention to too much detail, sometimes you get caught in the details and you don't get the project finished.
James Cameron, we're looking at you, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. But we did get to meet Joe Rohde, and that was a fun experience. He is a very nice guy and pretty humble, too. So, and we'd have to give a shout-out to our friend Beatrice, who really, I'm going to say, stalked him, hunted him down, and then finally got her picture taken with Joe after many, many years.
Congratulations. You've hunted him down, and now we have the photographic evidence.
Yeah, so I'm surprised she took that picture down off her Facebook wall.
So what do you think out there? Did we get them all right? Did we leave any out? Who would you have put on the list of the top 10 Disney Imagineers? Let us know at DisneyParksPodcast@gmail.com. Also, leave us a comment in the post. Leave us a comment in the notes under the video. Let us know who you would have added, and maybe we'll do this again soon, and we'll jostle the names around and add some of your Imagineers.
Yeah, we should do like maybe a top 10 of the Disney artists. You know, the people that create the movies.
Absolutely, you should write that down. Good idea.
Well, there's already the 9 old men, so we only need one more.
John Lasseter.
Done.
I was going to say Walt Disney, but that's okay. Either one.
John Lasseter. What about Ub Iwerks.
Yeah, sure.
Done. Yeah. Number one, Ub and Walt. We'll give them co-billing.
Ub, Walt, John, we're done?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. That's it, kids. If you want to find us, go out to Twitter. We are at Disney Podcaster. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/Disney Parks Podcast. And last but not least, go out and check us on the internets at the Disney Parks Podcast.com. And that's it, kids. We'll see you in the parks.
Go fly a kite and send it soaring up through the atmosphere, up where the air is clear. Oh, let's go fly a kite.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc., are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through.